All right, we'll start at the bottom of Papillon of Bet. Yesterday we discussed Rabbi Elezer's opinion in Nidrei Zeruzin, that he extended the concept of Nidrei Zeruzin beyond commercial instances, where it was a bargaining, and they added to that the case where someone is invited to a meal, or being pressured to come to a meal, and the inviter is trying to encourage the invitee to come, and he puts pressure on him by making a neder. Rosh Miyakov said that his intent is not really to make the neder, but his intent is to be a nidrei zeruzin, to push him in the direction that he wants. As a sidebar, yesterday we discussed the making it tonight at the beginning of the year, and the impact of that on Kol Nidrei. Now the Gemara asks at the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, the second to last line, Yibailu, Pligi Rabbana Leid Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Alo. Do the Rabbanon argue on Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov or not? I mean, do they agree to this position of his with Nidrei Zeruzin to extend it beyond commercial interests? And even if they do argue, Vilchus Kavate Alo, is Allah like Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov or not? Even though general, we'd say halacha kerabim, but Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov is a special standing in the Gemara because his Mishnayos were kav v'naki, which is that they were considered very well-founded, and he was considered well-founded and clear with his Mishnayos, and therefore sometimes the halacha is like him. Even as a yochid, so now Tashma. Did not have a Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chaveru konim she'eni nehenei alach im I atanotea levincha kur shalchiti mishtei chaviyot shal yayin. So a person says that I will not get any benefit from you if you don't take this barrel of wheat and these two barrels of wine or jugs of wine. So Harizei Yechol Hatirat Nidro Shal Opi Chacham. This person can get rid of his neder without a Chacham. Shechol Amalo, he could say, Klum Amart Ela B'Shvil Kvodi. The only reason that you asked Hano Amit, because you wanted to give me these two items. And didn't you only do this B'Shvil Kvodi, because of my honor? Zehu Kvodi. My kavod is that I don't accept the gift. Meaning that you wanted to give me a gift so that people would look at me and say, wow, this guy gave me a gift. And I'm saying to you that I don't like taking gifts. And my kavod is the ability to reject the gifts from you. I reject the gift. That's the kavod that I would get. So, time of Amar Zehu Kvodi. The reason that the nether does not work here is because he says, this is my honor, that I'm not accepting the gifts. Halav Hakri, without this, Nether who? It would be a nether. Mane, who's the author of this Mishnah? E Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, if it's Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, Nidrei Zeruzin Havi. This is equivalent of a case of Nidrei Zeruzin, because he's saying, he's just trying to press him to accept the gift. He's not really intending to take the nether. His intention is just to put pressure on him to accept the gift. So it can't be Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Ella, who is it? It's Ella, it's Ramina, it's Pligay. Rabbanan, that it's the Rabbanan, and then Sraminah, the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, because here you see the Rabbanan say the only reason that this nether falls apart is because of this little twist with kavod, meaning that if he can say, my kavod is not accepting the gifts, that's how he can get rid of the nether, but otherwise, it would be a valid nether, right? If it's a valid nether, the author is the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, and we see that they argue on him by Nidrei Zeruzin. Where is up, Olam, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov? You know, really it is Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Umoda, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, behind Nidra. This is an unusual nether. David, Amarlei, Lav Kalba, Anna. I'm not a dog. Demitanina minach, that I'm going to get an offer from you. Below mitani, it's minai, and you don't get any handoff from me. So you see that the circumstances make it that this would be a nether had it not been for the fact of kavod. Why is that? So let's understand the difference between this and our Mishnah. Meaning that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov in our Mishnah says when he's putting pressure on him to come to eat by him, that is considered nidrei zeruzin. That's considered a pressure and not a nether. Yet over here, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov is suggesting that this is a real nether because there's some feelings here that he has that make it that he would really take the nether and not simply say that he's putting pressure on him. So what's the difference? So there are two possibilities of what the difference is. Duran says One possibility is the way that the nether is structured. Over here, the nether is structured that he says, the mizamein, right, the one who's inviting, is also the mizuman, the one who's invited, right? I mean, that's, he says, konim, she'eni nehene lecha, that he takes a nether that you will not get any benefit from me. I mean, that the person who is trying to be pressured, pressuring him to take the gift, restricts him in his, restricts the person who's supposed to receive the gifts in getting any and all from him. Versus in our Mishnah, what's the case? In our Mishnah, he restricted, right, when he said, come to my house to eat. If you don't come to my house to eat, right, then I will not get any benefit from you, right? I mean, that's the opposite of what we have here. So that's one possibility with the differences of who's being restricted in Hana here. Right, whether it's the invitee, right, that's been restricted in Hana, or is it the inviter that's restricting himself in Hana? Right, so in our Mishnah, it's the inviter is saying that he will not get Hana, whereas here it's the invitee that's being restricted in Hana. So that would be the difference, because then you could say he was doing a dafka. He's really taking the net there because he said that this is an uneven relationship. You won't accept gifts from me, but you give gifts to me. Meaning that I'm getting enough from you, and you're never letting me return that favor. And so he feels it's uneven. When he takes the net there, it might have been something that he took, right, for real. So that's one possibility. The other possibility, what the difference is the size of the gift. Right? In the Mishnah, what's the gift? In the Mishnah, the gift is that he asked him to come over for a meal. Coming from home for a meal is not something where you have to have an even exchange. People invite people over for meals, even though, you know, they haven't done anything for them, even though they haven't invited them over. I mean, it's not an automatic assumption that has to be a two-way street when someone is invited over for a meal. Whereas in this mission over here, what's the gift? The gift is a kur shochitim, two jugs of wine. That's a significant gift. Why is it a significant gift? The only reason he would give a significant gift is because he's already received something from the other party. You know, he would only be gifting this type of amount or this volume because he also got benefit from the other individual. And he feels that it's an exchange of some sort. It's an even exchange where he wants to repay the hana. And he feels that the guy does not accept the gift, that he's cheating him out of having that relationship where they can both give back and forth. So according to the second explanation, the Rana, it's the size of the gift that determines the difference. Meaning that when it's a small gift, we just assume that he's just nitrei zeruzin because he's just trying to pressure him to come over, not because he feels there's an uneven relationship. Whereas when the size of the gift is so big, it must be because he's trying to repay him for a tova that he did for him. And if he doesn't accept it, he's going to feel that there's an uneven relationship. And that's why he's taking the nether, not because of nitrei zeruzin, but because he feels the unevenness or the unfairness of their relationship, and therefore he's trying to dafka take a nether to even out the relationship. Then I'm not going to get any more benefit from you if you don't accept this gift from me, because the relationship, right, is uneven. And so those are two ways to explain the difference between why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here will say that it's hakal ba'ana, am I a dog, that it's an uneven relationship, versus the Mishnah, which says it's nidrei zeruzin, that it's being pressured. And the first one is because who's being restricted in hana? Right, versus he says over here the person who's going to accept the gift says, or giving the gift says, that I will get no benefit from you, right, the other individual, because he's trying to even out the relationship. That's one possibility, versus in the Mishnah, where he's not trying to even out the relationship, he's making the nidrei zeruzin because he's saying you won't get any benefit from me if you don't come to my meal, which is that it's all from the one side and he's not trying to even it out. So that's one possibility. The second possibility is the size of the gift. And so those two possibilities will come into play later on when the Gemara changes its mind about what it's changing its mind about. Okay? So now, the next case, the Tashma, next proof. Ha'omer l'chaveru, konim sh'ata nenet li, im atad noten li b'ni kor shel chitim u'shtei chaviyot shalayim. So person says to his friend, konim sh'ata nenet li, I restrict you from getting, that you will get enough from me. If you do not give my son, so this guy basically says, you can't get any benefit from me unless you give me this gift. And he's basically pressuring the guy to give a gift, either to himself or to his child. It's unclear which one he's giving it to here. I mean, whose kavod is it for? Is it for himself or is it for his child's kavod that he wants this gift? He basically says, don't come to the wedding unless you bring this gift. That's basically the nether he takes here. So now you can't make this Kal Va'ana statement because of both reasons. One is that he's restricting himself, the other guy, from getting hung off from him, right? So it's not that he's saying, I won't get hung off from you. It's saying, you won't get hung off from me, which says that's not trying to even out the relationship. That's one. And number two, right? Number two is, here again, the gift is a significant gift, but he's demanding the gift. It's not that he's giving the gift, he's demanding that the guy give him the gift. So now the Gemara says, all right, who's the author of this? Who's the author of this? Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir Omer, Achitain, which is the Bach Mensa Street, Omer Asur Achitain, that the nether goes into effect until he gives it. The Chamim, Avzei Yocholatir, Nidro, so Al Pi Chacham, same language we saw above, that you don't need a Chacham to be Matan the nether. Shechol Omar, you can answer him, Arini Ki'ilu Hitzkabalti, it's as if I received it. The Mark, Arini, because you could say, why? That it's as if I received it. What was the reason that he said, I want this gift given? Before you come to the wedding. You know, you want to come to the wedding and bring me this gift? It was because he needed to fill out the wedding. Meaning that, run fast in two ways. Either because he was making a wedding and he was short some of the food, so he wanted this guy to, you know, help him out to make the wedding. So then, what happens, he ends up being able to pull it together and make the wedding without this gift from this guy. So then when he shows up and the guy said, you know, he didn't give the gift, he said, you know what, the nether wasn't, I really wanted it from you, but in the end, I was able to pull it together. It's as if I got it from you, I don't really need it anymore. You know, I don't need your gift anymore. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he's saying, give it to my children. The reason is he's saying, give it to my children, and if the children then say, you know, that we, it's as if we received it, come to the wedding, because, you know, we put the thing together, we don't need that kavod, you can come to the wedding. All right, happens to be, the Rambam brings down, Machlokes Rishonim here about, we'll get to that later. Let's just get through the Gemara. Taima, Dama, Hareini Ki'ilu Hitzkabalti. So the reason that this nether falls apart is because he says it's as if I received it. Halavachi netheru, otherwise it would be a good nether. Meet Mani, who's the author of this mission again? Who are the Chachamim? E, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Nidrei Zirusin Avi. Right, it should be, again, a nether that was used to pressure somebody to do something. He took the nether to force him to bring this gift. Right? It's not because he really wanted to take the nether. If it's the Rabbanon, then they're arguing on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because they say, even in the case of Nidrei Zirusin, where you're trying to put pressure on, it's still a valid nether. So I says, no, the old Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That's really Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Moder Rav Elazar behind Nidra Havi, behind the Nidra Havi. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov admits in this case that it's a nedra and not a nedra. It's a reason why. So Darmalei, lav malka ano. I'm no king. Demahanina lecha, lav mamanit li. I'm no king that I give you benefit and you give me no benefit. So the above case, it was lav kalba ano, which is that I always receive benefit from you, but you never take benefit from me. Here, the claim is the other way around. He says this relationship is uneven because I am always giving you, and you are never returning to me. So the fact that he is pressuring this guy to bring him a gift is because he feels, there's an unevenness again to the relationship. Here, the unevenness is the other way. I'm always giving to you, but you're never giving back to me. And therefore, don't show up to my wedding unless you bring a gift so that we have some sort of evenness to this relationship. So based on that, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say that it's not a nidrei zirusin because he's not really trying to pressure him. He has a beef with this guy. He has a real issue with this individual that they do not have an even relationship, and he's trying to force him to even out the relationship. And therefore, if he violates nether, it would be a valid nether because he says I don't want this relationship to continue if it doesn't even out, and therefore it would be a valid nether unless again he says ki'il hitzkabalti, as if I accepted it, meaning that he feels like he got that gift already, or he feels like that the evenness was already, they were playing on an even plane, even though he did not receive it.
He is trying to pressure him, but maybe the way in which it seems different from our mission is that the pressure is not specifically really for this gift. It's to address a more general imbalance, as opposed to, he wants him to deal with it. It's a...
Right, but that trying to even out the relationship means that he really, that would mean that when he takes the nether, he means the nether to be carried out, because that, there are two ways to even out the relationship. Either you do what I say, Or the nether will do the same thing as what I'm trying to say, which will even out the relationship, either by stopping me from giving you benefit anymore or from stopping you from getting benefit from me. So there are he's saying there are two methods to even out the relationship. Either you listen to me or my nether. And those are the ways we're going to even out this relationship. Right? Right, exactly. So those, by doing that, it must mean that the nether is literal and not Nidrezi Ruzin, as opposed to the Mishnah, where he has no agenda except to have him eat there. And when that's the only agenda, then we can say that it's Nidrei Zeruzim, that it's all pressure to eat there, but not to create a larger agenda of evening out the relationship. So far, we've tried twice to say that the Rabbanan argue on Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and say that they, in both cases, we say no, that really they don't argue on Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's position, right, is now we are narrowing Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's position of when something's considered a Nidrei Zeruzim. When is it considered a nether for pressure versus when we could say that it is a real nether? And now we've narrowed it down that when he has larger agendas to even out the relationship, those are not considered Nidrei Zeruzim, but rather real nidor. Now the Gemara's going to try and take one more time. Amalei Mark Shisha Breder and Pistler Rashi Tashma Nidrei Onsin. This is a Nidrei Ones where we're going to have something that a unforeseeable factor is going to come up that's going to stop him from being able to carry out the nether. So it's one of the four nedarim that we mentioned in the beginning of the parak that fall apart themselves. So what's that case? Hidiro chavero shiokol etzlo. He made a nether that his friend should eat by him. V'chalahu ochala b'no. And the friend got sick, or ochala b'no was sick, or his son got sick, oshikvunar, or the river got in the way and he couldn't get there. Alright, so all these cases, there's an exogenous variable, right, that is blocking him from carrying out the request. So, halav hafi. So why is the nether considered not a nether? It's because there's an onus in between. Right? There's an onus that's blocking the person from carrying out the request, which means to come eat by him. If you don't come eat by me, then I'll be also not enough from you, or you'll be also enough from me, but, right? The reason you didn't come was not because you didn't want to come, it's because something else got in the way. So how love hachi? So we're not for this exogenous barrel that got in the way. Nether who? It would have been a real nether. Samani, who's the author of this statement? That what, even in this case where he's putting pressure on him, that it is a valid nether. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Zirizinavi, this should be just a nether for pressure. This is like our Mishnah. Now we don't have the answers of Kalba Ano, Malka Ano, because here he's simply pressuring him to come and eat by him. Right? So from both perspectives, this is not considered a nether, because it's not a large gift. Number two is that he's not talking about their relationship. It's not about their relationship. Ella, Lab, Rabbanan. It must be that they are, that's a Rabbanan. Upliga, and they argue on Elazar ben Yaakov. Someone says, no, the Olam Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, says, Misvara de Adre Mazmena Bismino. Who do you think initiated the nether here? The way the Mishnah reads is that who initiated the nether? The inviter was inviting this guy, and he says, if you don't come, you're also bound off. Right? He's trying to pressure him to come. That's why we read the Mishnah. He says, don't read the Mishnah this way. Look, the Zamina Adre le Mizamna. So he says that it was the other way around. The invitee caused the nether. What is this? The Amarlei, Mizamanet li lisud dadech. The invitee says, you invite me over. I want to come for a meal. Amarlei, in. He says, sure. All right, come on. He says, nether zeralei. So the invitee says, this nether's on you. That what? That if you don't invite me, if you don't actually happen, then you'll be restricted in a no. The nadar. He took the nether. V'chalahu, oshachalah b'no. And then he got sick. Or his son got sick, Yikvunar, and then he couldn't get across the river. So, Halehelu Nidrei Onsin. That is a nether onus, because who is the initiator of the nether? Right? We thought that it was the inviter that was the initiator. Then you can understand he's putting pressure on the guy to come. But over here, it's the other way around. He wants to be invited, right? And he's pressuring the guy to invite him. Then once the guy invites him, he wants to do it in a way that the guy doesn't reverse the invitation. So he insists, you take the nether, that you're not going to reverse this invitation. So in there you can't say it's a nidrei zeruzin, it's a nether for pressure. That's a real nether, because he wants to lock in his invitation. So he locks in his invitation. Therefore, if there's something exactly to be able to stop him from coming, then we say that the nether was a nether only. But without those variables, and he doesn't show up, the nether takes effect because he really meant the nether that he took. All right, now, so that's three tries. And in each of these cases, again, we undid what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say, again, narrowing down where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that it was a nidre zihuzin, right? One case, again, the first two cases are because of the unevenness of the relationship, and the third case here is because it's who's generating the nether, who's pushing for the nether, right? Now, the last one, where the Gemara is going to be unable to escape from it, all right, is this, Tashma, Yeter al Kain, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. More than this, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, So if he says to him, that I will give benefit to you if you don't come over to me and eat hot bread with me and drink wine, or hot water, and then the other person got upset, right? These are still nidrei zeruzin. Bit lo hodu lo chachamim, and the chachamim do not agree. All right, now we're stuck. Right, so what is that? Right, what does it mean now? Lo hodu lo chachamim. They don't agree. That means that it's clear here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is talking about a case of nidrei zeruzin. We can't get out of this nidrei zeruzin answer, and the chachamim clearly don't agree with him. So now. Now we have to twist and wind a little bit, but you really can't get out of this situation. But the question is now, what does this brisk or grace that we just brought impact the answers we gave above? Does it undermine the answers we gave above, or, right, does it not? And that's going to be the subject. That's why I gave you the two explanations above, because that's going to matter how we explain the cases above. All right, so now the Gemara says, what does it mean that Chachamim don't agree with him? Lav dafiru b'kamaisa. Even in the first cases, right, v'shmamina, pligay rabbanan aleit, v'sit rabban argim, shmamina. That's the conclusion, right? The Gemara says it's clear that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues on the Chachamim, or the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now,
not just for the details of the case, but from the Lashon of the Hudla Chachamim, means that they're already cholek and they're not moving even over here.
Right. Well, the question is what? Right. In this case, now, what do we do with the cases above? Well, we answered up for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right, that we said, what's the reason? What's the reason that we said above Lav Kalba Ana? Had it was different from our Mishnah. Right? Lav Kalba Ana means that this is different from our Mishnah because of one of two possibilities. One is because of who is restricting the Na on whom, right? That was one possibility. The other one was because of the size of the gift. So now that'll make a difference now based on the Mishnah, on the Braisa here that we brought that has Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position in it. Because here, if you look in the Ran, you see, and then we could just explain it quickly. Yeah, sorry.
In the case of the Mishnah was what?
Where he restricted Hana on himself, meaning that you can't get Hana from me if you don't come and eat by me.
And this case is?
Right. This case is Konim Shanin El Akhlaf, that I will give, right? I will give you Hana. It's like our Mishnah, right? In that case.
So what was the Mishnah's case? The case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
In the Mishnah, in our Mishnah,
yeah,
is that you cannot get enough from me if you don't come over to me, basically. Same as our Braisa right here. Similar to the Braisa.
Okay.
But it's different than the case we brought above in the Mishnah so here.
The question that we're trying to ask, the question that we're trying to answer here, right, the whole time, is does the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position in the Mishnah?
Right. Well, that was what we're trying to argue.
So here we have the exact same case in the Mishnah. So what do we?
It seems like it's the exact same case in the Mishnah, right? That's what, so far, it looks like we've solved the problem with regards to the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do with these other Mishnah's braces that we've brought down along? I mean, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov still agree to the Chachamim in those positions, or does he disagree with them? And that'll depend on how you differentiate between the Mishnah and the cases over here, right? So that's. Let's just do the Ron. It's a fast Ron to do. Yes, it's the last Ron on the dot. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 from the bottom. 8 from the bottom. 8 lines from the bottom. It's the last Ron. It says, Yeter al Kain, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, Hai Tamar Yeter al Kain. What does it mean, Yeter al Kain? More so. Right? Mishum the Hokka Avagav the Shaykhun Yemar Lab Kalba Ano. You could have answered up there with Lab Kalba now. Share you Osir Hanatim Zuman Al Atzmo. He's ostering the other party on him. If he will not receive from him, right? Anazu mshumachi klamekar b'davka nadar, that he really took this nether. Afilu hachi amar lebez Yaakov's nitri zivuzin hay. Right. So now, according to this first opinion, this is different. The brisa is different than our Mishnah, in the sense that what he this brisa over here is different because he said ponem shani nenelach, right? That you will not get, that he's saying that the mezuman, osir hanat mezuman alatzmo, that I will not get any hanah from you, right? Not like I said, right? So it's not like what I just said. But the Bryce is now saying, what? I will not get hanah from you if you don't come over and eat. Versus our Mishnah says, you cannot get hanah from me if you don't come over and eat. Right? That sounds like the first Mishnah that we brought up above. So you could have answered
that. Right,
our clear is totally unclear. But the assumption is that, depending on how you differentiate the case, the first, they have to differentiate this case where they answer Kalban Aina from the case in the Mishnah. So that this, according to the first opinion, that was the difference, was who's getting restricted and not. Right, so over here, our Braisa sounds like the first Mishnah we tried to bring a proof from, which is what? I'm restricting myself from getting Hanah from you if you don't come over. Which is different than the Mishnah, which says, I'm restricting you from getting enough from me if you don't come over. And then he says, that's what, you could have answered up. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov could have answered up, lav kalbana, just like he answered up above. The fact that he doesn't means what? He doesn't hold of that. Flipes there. That when we set up above that answer of Lav Kalbanu, that was just trying to push the Gemara along. It was an attempt to do it. The Lav Kushta the Milsu, but that's not the. Then the bottom line is that he does not hold of that because we have a Mishnah that looks exactly like the Mishnah above that we said by Lav Kalbanu. And what do we say? Our Glazer Mappa says it's Nidrei Tibusin. Well, the idach perusha, but the second perush we gave was that it had to do with the size of the gift. Over here, this gift is not sizable, right? The kadmina leo, the time the lav kabana mushum the fogina ben matana ruba the matana muetit. We differentiated between a big gift and a small gift, right? Hayetarkin darmin haka lav mushum the lo kashin the time of the lav kabana. No, then that transition of kabana can stay in place because why? That mishnah up there was talking about a large gift. This bright was talking about a small gift. I gave him the matam of the entity, lo shayach lemer hakhi. In our case here, there's no reason to believe. So then what does it mean, yeter al kain? I mean, what's the addition to what it was considered? Yeter al kain, kamar mishum sakadata, came into miyake. Since he enumerated exactly what he wanted to eat, kamar patchama, because shokhamin, dafka, nadav, lo zuzay, ba'alma, kamash malan, that's still considered a nidrei zeruzin. So that's the question here. What is the chiddush of this brayso? When Rabbi Elazar, we see over here, yeter al kain. Yeter al kain means this is more than we know about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov from before. So, Rabbi Akiva, we already know, said Nidrei Zeruzin, that when you put pressure, that is not considered a real neder. Now we say, yeah, okay, and he's adding on to that. So the easy way to say over here is that he's adding on to it, meaning that even in cases where you specify exactly what you want him to eat, and you would think when you specify and you mefarid, that that's a real neder, not pressure. If you want to get pressure, just say, look, come in here and eat. Why are you saying, eat this, eat this, eat this? Sounds much more like a neder. Kamashmon, that's still considered Nidrei Zeruzin. But that, based on that opinion, then all that we've said till now still stands. Meaning that the Lav Kalbana, the Lav Malkana, all those exceptions will stand because those cases are different. Why are those cases different? The size of the gift is different. So since the size of the gift is different, those claims above that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would still agree that those are considered real nedarim and not pressure because of the size of the gift. And therefore there's a bigger agenda that he wants to even out the relationship, not simply, right, pressure him to come.
Even the first appearance, it only works for one of the two cases.
That's correct. Very good.
They're opposite.
Very good. Right, exactly. So that is true. Even according to the first case, the first opinion where we said the difference was about who is restricting and not. Right? That is, if he's restricting him, he's saying, I will not, if he says, I will not get enough from you, right, if you don't come over, you will not get enough from me if you don't come over and eat, that's clearly pressure. But if he says, I will not get enough from you if you don't come over and eat, that seems like he's trying to even out the relationship. So that's the same case, our brayso that we brought here is the same as that case in the Mishnah, to even out the relationship. And therefore, we see Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that still zeruzin, and that, Lav Kalbana, right, that I'm a duck, and therefore he would reject that principle of Lav Malka, of Kalbana, but he would still hold of Lav Malka, and that position would still stand. Therefore, we upend Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's the first thing that we have to, deal with over here. Again, why two explanations will now depend on this price as a solution for what, or how does this explain Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's position? Alright, but then, that's one, the one issue. The other issue I'll just point out, it's a small issue, which is that when can you say, in the Gemara we said a couple of times, it's as if it's my kavod, or it's as if I accepted it. Right? It's as if you did it. Can you only say that when he made a neder about him taking a positive action? I mean, that when he asks him to do something, and then he doesn't do it, he can say, it's as if you did it. What happens if he says to him, I don't want you to do something, and then he goes ahead and does it anyway? Can you say to him, as if you didn't do it? Meaning that I mock faith that you don't do such and such. And then you go ahead and do it anyway. Can you say, you know what, I'm not mocking it anymore. Meaning that it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't bother me. Right? Just in that area, it was something that bothered me. But at this point, it really doesn't bother me, and it's okay. Right, with the wife. Very similar, something similar to that. So that happens to be Machlokas Rishonim over here, that the Rashba believes that Dafko, the Kiyum Maisim, only when you have given active form, can you say, if I accepted it, as if you did it. But when you say something in the negative form, right, then when you're trying to be Bavata, something, say, don't do this, you can't say it's as if you did it or as if you didn't do it. That doesn't make sense. There are Rishonim that argue on the Rashba, so you know that say that even when it's formulated in the negative, that you can say, you know what, it doesn't really bother anymore. It's as if you did what I asked you to do, even though you didn't. Right, so that's the possibility. Alright, that's it. Now, the last line in the Gemara is, now we say, my Havi Allah. What is the halacha with regards to this? Tashma. Damar Rav Huna. Okay, I'm going to read it the easiest way to read the Gemara now. But this is independent of everything we've done till now. Right, which is, my Havi Allah, what's the halacha? Tashma. Damar Rav Huna, halacha k'rab lezmin Yaakov. K'namar Rav Adar Rav, halacha k'rab lezmin Yaakov. That, remember, the Gemara asked two questions above. Do the Rabbanan argue under lezmin Yaakov? And who is the halacha? If so, who is the halacha like? So until this point in the Gemara, the easiest way to read this Gemara is, until this point in the Gemara is addressing, do the Chachamim argue on Rav Lezer ben Yaakov? That we got, the Brisa solved that for us and told us that they do argue about what they argue, we just discussed. But at least they argue, now the Gemara asks, who's the halacha like? So now when we say, who's the halacha like? It's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, and the halacha is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. That could be the easiest way to read the Gemara. There are other people, and it's, the Ran quotes it in the Shem Rabu Tai, that his Rebbeim, but that the possibility is that this is part of the Gemara's conclusion about what we were asking about, where does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argue? Meaning that this Brisa, when we say about this Brisa, that we're talking about the original, which part does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argue about? And that'll depend on where you think this Brisa turns out. So if you see, look in the first line in the Ran, you can just see if that's where he has his Rabbi Rashi. It says, Klomar, you should know, even the original case, say that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And the fact that Rav Huna had to come and say that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So according to the Rabbi Tav Shildaran, right, that this part of the Gemara is a continuation of the question, do the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? And so the Gemara proves it from the fact that what? Even in the Kamaiso, the Issim Tisi refers to the Mishnah, that even in the Mishnah, Rav Huna says Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If he says Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then the Chachamim are arguing on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, either in those first Brises or in those earlier Mishnahs.
Now, someone makes a statement, and someone else says, Malach Baal, and it could be also that he's saying, nobody argues with him, that's why the halacha is.
Well, generally, the Gemara does not assume that. The Gemara will ask, when you say halacha, the Gemara says, what, Stam Milsa, that you want to say? Right, the Gemara is saying that, why do you have to tell, if he's only opinion, then you don't have to tell me the halacha is like him. The fact that you tell me the halacha is like him infers that there's an alternative opinion or alternative option, right, to ask you. So that's why he says, right, so that's it. So you say that's what the Gemara says. If you continue in the round here, to e lo my muchad mi Rav Huna. Otherwise, what's the proof from Rav Huna? To pligi rabbanan dima brisa raisa a bright but raisa. He's only talking about the last case we brought in the brisa. That possibly the halacha kavate. But no, that it's really about the first case. I mean, the Mishnah that he's saying the halacha is like those. Yaakov teaches us that he argues. Now, the Ran rejects that and says, no. Like I explained the Gemara, which was the easier way to understand it. The Gemara's ended its quest for knowing whether the Chachamim argue. And now they're answering the question, is Allah like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? That has nothing to do with whether the Chachamim argue anymore. Okay, so now.
That's a stupid. And I apologize for you already. The last Brisa, doesn't that not go to the Ben Kalba issue? That means
only according to one opinion. The Ran, we explained that there are two ways to understand the Gemara.
So there's
one way, this Brisa is exactly like the Mishnah we brought above, and then would upend the Kalbana, and the other way it does not.
Okay. And the second question was this, when it says, Lo Bilu Chachamim, the Gemara says, my Lava must be on the second case, on both cases. I just want to know, maybe say it's only for the second case.
Oh, because of the fact that that's, according to this opinion, it's because of Rav Huna says, Allah has filled up his name, Yaakov. I mean, what's he saying? Allah Kharab is in Yaakov must be because he's talking about the Mishnah. And everybody, people know about Brisa. Nobody knew about Brisa. When he says Allah Kharab is, that means he's talking about the Mishnah. It means an earlier case. couldn't be that Ravun is coming along to say halacha like the Braisa, because those weren't so well known to them, all right? It must be he was talking about the Mishnah, and therefore...
It's not proven from the Mishnah itself, but somehow we know that...
That Rav Huna is addressing the Mishnah. That's the Gemara's case. How do we know he's talking about Kamaisa? It's because Rav Huna said the Lachas HaKrilas and Yaakov. That's the Rabbot's Ran. According to the Ran, that's not the Filu Kamaisa, is because he says here... That's the Gemara's conclusion here is that my level of chumim afilu kamaisa, right? Mishmar mina bigla eshmar mina, right? So that the Gemara concludes that even in the Mishnah case that they would argue with him, or in the first case is the earlier Mishnah that we brought, not necessarily our Mishnah. So it's not conclusive.
The bottom line is the definite machlokas, and
the question is how broad is that machlokas, and the halacha goes from. So now you'll see the Ran, now the Indian halacha. If you look in the Ran, the Indian halacha. So it's right across from the word Mishnah in the Gemara, the Indian halacha. So what's halacha now? Because depending on how big you think the machlokas is and how big you think the halacha is like, then you got to find. So the Indian halacha, he says, Kim the Sika Hilkas of Rebbezim and Yaakov. The halacha is like Rebbezim and Yaakov, like we just said. You'll see. Then, therefore, the Pi Oto Perish Rishon Shepirashno Lamala. Right? So according to the first opinion that we said above, that the Yeter Alkain, right, comes to teach you what? That Talba Ano is not a good claim. The high yotum came bubble mar the apple of the eagle ming or lab kabana. Even you can say that Amar Blazan Yaakov Nidrei Zeruzin have it. It's still Nidrei Zeruzin. Then Nakin and Hochi. The halacha will be that is a Nidrei Zeruzin and the claim of lab kabana is not. Vajrina and Mimaidam Rinan Lael Basugin. And we reversed our opinion from above. To Mother Lezal Hechel the eagle ming or lab kabana the Nadr Gamor Havi. That's what we said above. And we reject that. The Maskina Leta Uchastavina. And then in the Maskana we reject that as he wrote above, which was what we explained the Ron, right? We just explained. Umiyu, Afagav Dajrina me time is a lab kabana, this is what you were saying. So that even though we reject the claim of lab kabana, time is a lab malkana kata ite, that still stays in place. So Allah, according to that first opinion, right, that Allah will be that you cannot make a claim of lab kabana, or make lab kabana is not relevant, and therefore it will be a Nidrei Zeruzin according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, right? And everything will be considered Nidrei Zeruzin except for that one case of lab malkana, or the case of Ones, where the netter was forced by the invitee. Right, Umoda Bir Blasmekov over the Edak Pirusha. Now according to the other Pirush, which we said was what? That Lab Kabana stands even in the end, at the Vina Hell, the time of Lab Kabana Mishum the Ayyulay Matana Maruba, all to do with the size of the gift. Umashkana Nami, that stays the Maskana. Yeah, Kadakina time of Lab Malkana. Right, just like we say the Lab Malkana stands, Hakanami Nakina time Lab Kabana, that stands also the Lok in the end. Right, if it's a Rayu, Koheka, the Inu Moda, Rabbi Lazar, then there's a happy
Lazarus. Ben Kabba goes away, then Malkos has to go away.
Right.
If Ben Kabbal goes away, then Malka also has to go away.
Not necessarily, because it depends why you think that Ben Kabbal was
in.
Wait,
and I interpreted it by saying that they're the same. It's the size of the gift, and whether...
Right, when it's the size of the gift, then you're right. Then they have to be, then they're tied one to another. And therefore, if you're here, they're upholding both of them, and they both stand. Because the rejection below has nothing to do with the size of the gift, it has to do with the pirut of the nether, right? Whereas in the other opinion, the reason it has to do with who is he restricting and not. Right, so therefore, since he's restricting the other party and he's getting hanah from the other party, that's right. The reciprocation is the problem, and as Bryce upends that issue, right, and therefore the glav kabana drops, but the glav malkana does not drop. Okay, so that he says near shiskim ramban bihukotav, and he says that's later ramban seems to learn the sugya according to that latter opinion that anak kabana and malkana stand lahalacha, right, and kutvarav nearly. And I think that's the way it works. So again, it's very important. The reason I explained it two different ways in the Ran originally because that's major enough to mean Halacha, meaning that, again, what are we upending in Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov in the end? When we say Halacha to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, what does that mean? I mean, when is it considered Nidrei Zeruzin, and when is it considered a regular nether? And that will depend on when this Braisa that we brought at the end, that says the Chamim and Rebbe Elazar argue, what's it doing? Is it a case independent of everything we spoke above, or is it a case that's similar to the first mission we brought? And that'll have Nachminos the Halacha. All right. Here we go, just quickly. Let's just go through the sugi now. Next Mishnah. Nidrei Havai. Right, so the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak started out with four types of Nidarim that are automatically fall away. One of them was Nidrei Havai. Havai being like an exaggeration. Right, so he says, Amar, Kone Milor Iti Bederchazek Ole Mitzrayim. You know, Kone, I didn't see like a number of people left Mitzrayim, like 600,000 people walking over there. Right, Im Lori Iti Nakash Kakura Beta Bader. I didn't see a snake the size of the board that's used in the presses, right? I mean, a huge, you know, a huge log or a huge press. I mean, it's a massive snake, right? So these are both exaggerations, right? These are beyond what normally people do. So there are two ways to learn why these are not Nidarim. The Rush says these aren't Nidarim is because this is the way people speak. That's the way people express themselves. They, when they see something that is beyond their comprehension, right, they also speak in a way that is beyond comprehension, meaning that they...
Hyperbole.
Right, hyperbole, exaggeration are the way they speak, and therefore these are not the Dharma, because this is, people communicate in this way. And in Dharma we go after Lashon Bnei Adam, and since people would speak in this way, he's not trying to answer himself here, he's trying to make a point by make the varav, to establish his position and say, this is really what I mean. That's one possibility. The Ran divides up the cases into two cases and says each case is a chiddush. He says the first case, people normally talk like that. People will say that when they see a lot of people, that they'll exaggerate and say it's like Yotzei Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. And that but there was that number of people, that's an expression, that's a type of that's exaggeration. The second case, by the Nachash, people don't speak like that. That's, again, it's going to be, we're going to see the tomorrow.
One's
what?
One's true, one's not.
Oh, so that's the Ran says, exactly. That one is?
It's just 100,000, I got it.
Right. Oh. You're saying that the people I saw were 600,000. Kit Ole Mitzrayim.
But it's based on
fact. Right.
Based on fact. Yeah, but also based about. I mean, it's a fact. He's saying there's no snake that fit.
Right. So he's saying that here that the Ran is saying something to what you're saying, which is that the first case is truth because that's the way people say. If they see 200,000 people, they'll say Kit Ole Mitzrayim.
It's built into language.
Right. It's a fair expression of that, and he's trying to tell the truth.
Someone says it's a $1 million question. That's right. Like an expression ready to,
right. So that's, but as opposed to the second case, the Ran believes that court's based upon it. Now, I'll tell you why. If it was just talking about the size of the snake, you'd be right. It's the same case. But the Gemara says that the case here is that he's talking about that the snake was crazy. Something like that. He was mixed up, I don't know, like court's based upon it. And therefore, when he says this expression, it's clearly not true. Okay, so if you see, therefore it's clearly not true.
So it should be less of a chiddush.
What?
It should be less of a chiddush.
Right, so no, it's a bigger chiddush now, because even though he's telling sheker, right, then we still say it's a derech kuzma. It's still an exaggeration, even though he's not really telling the truth. In the first case, he's expressing himself, he's telling the truth, then we say it's an exaggeration. Even in the second case where he's not telling the truth, meaning that this is not the way people speak necessarily, nevertheless, we still say it's a nidrei habai. Right, now, next line, Tana, nidrei habai mutarim, shvus habai asurim. Now, this major machlokes we're showing here about what the gears is. Either the gears is just that over nidrei habai, by nidarim, right, it works, these exaggerations work. Whereas by Shavuos, Havai, Asurin, they do not work by Shavuos. Right? Meaning that they're opposite. The conclusion is what? That Nidarim works. By Shavuos, it does not work. Right? Whereas there's another person that we've shown him that Tana Nidri Havai Mutarim, and so are Shavuos. It works just like by Neder, it works by Shavuos. You'll see that in the side of the Gemara, he has also there's Sfar Macherim, has that gear. So just like Nidri Havai are also Mutarim, so are Shavuos. And they're obviously big enough. Kamina Lalafa, which way you learn? Do Shavuos have this exaggeration factor in it or not? Right? Why? What would be the difference? Right? Shavuos are more chomer because they, right? As we've said this all along, Shavuos have a more stringent aspect to them, and therefore they are. What do you call it? They, therefore, we're going to have a stronger, or we're not going to allow Shavuos Havai. That's number one. And number two is, which we'll get into the Gemara tomorrow. We're not going to get into today. Is that there is such thing as a Shavuos Shav. There's no such thing as a nether shav. Meaning that if you take a nether for not, right, there's no malchus, there's no lav against a nether shav. Whereas by a shvuah shav, there is a lav. So even though, meaning that you took a shvuah, it was meaningless, there's a violation of a lav for doing that. And therefore, maybe that'll make the differentiation here between shvuah and nether. And then, the last possibility is that with the Ran. The Ran specifically differentiated between the types of nether that you took. One is where you took a nether and it's the way people express themselves, and that's considered an exaggeration. The other nether is where you're really lying, quote-unquote lying. You're not telling the truth, but you're trying to make a point. So maybe in that, we'll differentiate in Shavua. In Shavua, where you're telling the truth, and that's the way people express themselves, we'll say that's not a Shavua Shav, and that's called a Shavua Shavai. Whereas maybe when you're not telling the truth, like Korah's Pesach Bad, by Shavua, that will not apply, and that will not work, because you're not telling the truth, and it becomes a Shavua Shav. And a Shavua Shav, you can get punished for, as opposed to a Nidrei Allah. Right? So I'm just giving you possibilities. We'll get deeper into tomorrow and the Gemara a little bit, and later today, but I don't know if we'll get all the way through it today, but just understanding that the gears could be different here, and that'll depend on what you see the differentiation between nether and shvuah. Okay?
Professor said, nidrei havai mutarim means that the nether is not to be fixed.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says it right here. Nidre Havai in Atopsin. We know that for sure. That part we know for sure. The question is why, and then how does that apply to Shavuos? Alright? Hey, Vidami Shavuos Havai. What's an exaggerated, you know, Shavuah? Ilay Adamar Shavuim Lower Iti Bidakhazam Midam. He says, I didn't see on this way, da da da, Midam Kamar. He's saying something. So then it's Shavuah Shav. Rabbi, Adamar Shavuah Shavuah Iti. No, not that Shavuah did not, in Lower Iti, I did not see, but Shavuah that I did see. Samarli Rabba and Cain, Lamali the Maymar, then what do you have to tell me that it's a Shua Shav? That's obviously, he says, I saw this, he didn't see this. Right? Vod, Zumi the Nether, Tani. It's supposed to be the same as, we're comparing Shua to Nether, it should be the same as the Nether that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Right, so the, I guess, El Amar Rabba Ba'omer Yesru Perot Olam Alai B'Shavua. The Shavua's like this. All the fruits in the world should be restricted to me in a Shavua. Im Lo Ra'iti B'Derech Hazek Olim Mitzrayim. I didn't see on this way, right, Derech Mitzrayim. So that's the he's expressing himself in a way, and he's not getting a Shavua directly about what he saw, meaning that he's trying to be Amet Yivarav. He's trying to what? Strengthen his position and say, he says, I'll be restricting all the fruits in the world if what? If I saw such a thing.
What was the period before that? Vodumi the Nether Ketanya?
Which ones? I'm sorry?
Vodumi the Nether Ketanya.
Meaning that what?
Was that a second question? Or?
Yeah. That you want Vodunether, that you have to parallel it to our Mishnah. I mean, you want it to be similar to a nether.
Right.
So if he says, Shavua, that I saw this, you can't take a nether that I saw this. Nether doesn't work in the positive form. I mean, that you want it to formulate, you compare nether to Shavua in the statement afterwards. If you compare nether to Shavua, then you have to create a Shavua that you could do with a nether also, something that you could do with a nether. And you can't do with a nether, Shavua Shara'iti, a Shavua that I saw this amount of people. That doesn't work with nether. You can't say nether that I saw this many people. A nether is about restricting the chayfetch. It's not about taking making a positive statement, right? So you're saying two problems with the way you're trying to set it up. So he comes up with this formulation that Shavua Lora'iti B'derech Mitzrayim, right? Only, I'll restrict something else if I didn't see like on this Golden Mitzrayim, that is like this. So all right, you know, we're gonna stop here because the next week it goes way